Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, joined by David Smith.
Hello.
And our guest is Rich Hartian, the chairman of Illinois Family Action. Yikes! The election.
Oh, boy.
Illinois is drowning in a sea of blue.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much nationally.
No. The good news is the much anticipated blue wave that was supposed to hit the nation in this midterm election didn't transpire. I heard some people calling it it was a blue mist or a light blue rain. But the fact of the matter is, Monty, we got hit with a tsunami here in Illinois. We got totally soaked. Not only do the Democrats now have all the constitutional offices, we're talking about governor, attorney general, secretary of state, comptroller, and treasurer, but they're going to have next session, which is a two-year period, 2019-2020, supermajorities in the Illinois Senate and the Illinois House. Oh, dear.
How do you describe supermajority for those that...
Good question. So it takes 60 votes in the House to pass a piece of legislation. It takes 30 in the Senate. Well, the Democrats, if they were to be able to override or 3/5 of a vote, that would be 71 in the House and 36 in the Senate. And they have more than that now in both chambers.
So that means they can raise our taxes.
Yes, it means they can do virtually anything they want. But,
oh boy.
But you know, before we think about what's going on here in Illinois, I think we need to step back and take a look at the national picture.
The national picture, yes. We actually did fairly well considering it was a midterm election. So as of current count, as of today, the recording of this podcast, Republicans lost 34 House seats and gained 3 Senate seats. Now, if you compare that to Barack Obama's term,
right.
In his first election, he lost 63 House seats. So
that's right.
That's almost 30 more House seats the Democrats lost.
But he's also intelligent.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Where does that go?
What?
But how can that happen, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's historically midterms for a president have been pretty bad. And, the party that's not in charge takes over. That's fine. But the good news here, of course, is the Senate.
Yes. Well, we picked up 3 seats.
At least.
In contrast to Barack Hussein Obama's first term in 2010, he lost 6 Senate seats, and the Republicans picked up 3 this term. So, realistically, we have lots to celebrate in terms of the national election.
And why is this so important? Now, okay, the House was lost, as you pointed out, mm-hmm. to the Democrats. So we're going to probably have Speaker Pelosi and Maxine Waters.
Yay!
giving Donald Trump all kinds of grief over the next 2 years. But why is it so important that the Senate was, we built on the conservative Republican majority in the Senate? Okay, let me tell you why. Because the president's nominees have to be approved or confirmed or rejected by the U.S. Senate. Now, the first thing we all think about around this table is the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
Right? He's going to have to. But it's more than that. We're talking ambassadorships, all federal judges, all the judicial branch, and listen to this, specified officers in cabinet-level departments, independent agencies, the military services, foreign services, and uniformed civilians, as well as U.S. attorneys and U.S. marshals. That's a lot of appointees. That's a lot of people that he is going to be able to appoint without having a hard time getting them through and confirmed the U.S. Senate.
Well, that does sound like a win for Republicans nationally.
It's huge. And he and Mitch McConnell have been doing a yeoman's job of appointing new federal judges. And to put this in perspective, this morning I looked at this, and in the federal courts hear over 350,000 cases a year. Okay? 350. Whereas the Supreme Court, which is tends to be our focus because they're the final say, they only do 80 to 100 cases a year. So getting conservative, pro-life, constitutionalist judges appointed to the federal bench is going to be, that's going to have long-term effects well after Trump leaves office.
Yeah, and you know, when I look at this, and it's not a right or left issue, these judges. The conservative judges are constitutionalists, which means they look at the wording of the Constitution and then they adjudicate based off of that. And for the last 8 years, we've had too much reinterpretation law.
Yeah. Well, and the constitutionalists, judiciary, doesn't make law. They interpret law.
They only interpret law. Well, that's right.
And that was, I think, what the big fight about Brett Kavanaugh was all about. It wasn't about abortion. It was the bigger issue of we want to be able to make law through the courts.
So let me take an informal poll of you two and see what you think. What was the number one reason that voters decided to strengthen the U.S. Senate and vote for these guys, do you think? Do you think it was immigration? Was it Kavanaugh? Was it the economy? Was it health care? What do you think was the driving force for these Republican voters?
I personally would love to say it was the economy and those types of things. But when you look at how Scott Walker lost in Wisconsin, I mean, he turned the economy around in Wisconsin and he lost.
That's right.
So it's hard to say that. When you look at the Kavanaugh vote, am I correct in my understanding that the senators that voted against Kavanaugh, none of them won their seat?
As of now, that's right. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think the Kavanaugh vote was probably—
And the Democrat who in West Virginia who did vote for Kavanaugh won his seat.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you wouldn't think that that would be the swing issue, but it certainly does seem—
It was a driving force.
As it was polarizing for many people.
Or maybe a motivating force. What do you think, Monty?
Well, I think this. I think we would have picked up even more Senate seats and more congressional seats or lost fewer had the Republicans done a better job of articulating their position on health care.
Right. Yep.
They missed the boat.
I agree. That was a very big concern about independent voters, right?
They let the Democrats set the narrative.
That's right. And they did. And they're good at that, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Well, it had a tremendous effect. Go ahead,
Rich. I mean,
Rich.
They're good at it mostly because they control the major media.
That's right.
And, you know, control is probably the wrong word. It's more that the major media left.
Collusion.
Collusion.
The media is colluding with the Democrats,
yeah,
for the most part.
Well, yes and no. You look at the campaign ads that Peter Roskam ran or Randy Holtgren, for instance. They didn't have a clear message on health care, okay?
Yep.
And this thing about preconditions, okay?
Pre-existing conditions.
You know they're going to come after you on this, so what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Well, I mean, is healthcare really that big of an issue for the voters?
I think it is. And I'll tell you why. Yes, they have jobs and more of them. They're getting higher pay, but they're getting socked with the healthcare bills.
But that's what I mean is everyone knows that healthcare has gone up. My healthcare almost doubled and I got less coverage. So, you know, that is not a liberal or conservative issue. Across the board, we are all paying more. How come that didn't change votes?
Well, I'll tell you why. I suspect the left is very good at pulling and tugging on heartstrings. And so when you have mamas up there talking about how their 8-year-old child with cancer lost coverage because of politician, that really pulls on your heartstring. You know, they show pictures of this. My kid, I was doing this, or I've got 6 kids, or whatever. The heartstrings are being tugged on. And, of course, that had a persuasive effect on a lot of voters. And I want to run into this now. And I think it was a big part of the loss that we saw here in Illinois with Peter Roskam and Randy Holkrin. Peter Roskam from the 6th Congressional District and Randy Holkrin from the 14th Congressional District both lost their races. So now, of the 18 congressional seats in Illinois, we're going into next year, we're only going to have 5 Republicans out of the 18, 13 Democrats, 5 Republicans in the state of Illinois. And if you look at the map, the Chicago influence has expanded even further into the western suburbs. That's big blue. Everything else is downstate, basically, is red, except for along the Mississippi, where we have one more Democratic district out there in the Quad Cities area.
Yeah, we won't have a single Republican area congressman, will we?
No, we won't.
Well, who are the Democrats going to blame?
Well,
as our credit rating continues, I mean,
well, Illinois. That's an Illinois right. issue, and we need to talk about that. But I think, and I suspect, and we got to take a break here, but I suspect that Bruce Runner being at the top of the ticket actually helped to throw a wet blanket, if you will, on Republican voters, who many of them probably sat home and said, I don't have anything to vote for. Mm-hmm. I can't vote for any of these guys that are running at the top of the ticket. Why bother?
So you're saying they didn't have a governor to choose from, right. So they just didn't vote.
Right. There wasn't a candidate to rally around. I think that's a big part of it.
He dragged down the entire ticket, I think.
I would also say, real quick, that I personally wish Roskam and Holkrin were a little bolder. A little more Trump-like. I mean, I'm not talking about being on Twitter and vulgar and brash and all that. I'm talking about just pushing back, fighting back, and you know, the left never lets off. They fight.
Let's talk a little more about that after mm-hmm. the break. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We will continue our post-election mortem and some ideas about where we go from here after this.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
Yes, we can help marriage last. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Every so often, a study comes along that makes you say, duh. The Institute for Family Studies found Americans who were only physically intimate with their spouses were most likely to describe their marriages as very happy. Those with 6 or more partners before their spouse were least happy in marriage. Contrary to conventional wisdom, says sociologist Brad Wilcox, when it comes to sex, less experience is better, at least for the marriage. Waiting for and committing to one person forever offers the best chance at lasting love. Now, this isn't the story our culture tells us, whether it's in popular movies, TV shows, songs, even books. They all promote an image about sex that's simply not true. Now, no marriage is perfect, of course, and God can always redeem and restore sexually broken lives. But even the statistics tell us that we were not made for promiscuity. The good life that entertainment offers us is a lie. The abundant life God offers us isn't. For more on faith and culture, come to breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks once again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, along with David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. And the chairman of Illinois Family Action is Rich Hardian. He is joining us. And before the break, we were talking about the Roskam-Hultgren losses.
That's right.
In the election.
So bad. So sad, because they were good conservative congressmen. We could count on them for pro-life, pro-family, usually. Yeah. You know, we wanted them to vote for it to defund Planned Parenthood, but that never came up during the 2 years that Trump was in. So
well, their claim was that, you know, their hands are kind of tied by the U.S. Senate.
Right.
So,
right.
And maybe we could blame Mitch McConnell for
right.
that. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, I was just thinking about the, for instance, Peter Roskam.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have embraced Trump more.
That's right.
President Trump
That's
more
right.
and Randy Hultgren.
Right.
And here's why. You look at the ads that they ran against Peter Roskam.
Yep.
And they said, the voting record's out there, and they're going to go after your voting record. He supported Trump 94% of the time.
Yep.
Why not go for broke and embrace Trump? You're voting with him.
Well, the two guys that did embrace Trump down in southern Illinois, Mike Bost and Rodney Davis, both won their elections, even though they were challenged very, very vigorously. But they did win their and Trump came out to support them in Murfreesboro a couple weeks before the election. And, of course, the crowds swelled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what Illinois Republicans have failed to do, is to rally the troops. They're AWOL. They don't want to fight.
Rich, just curious, how much Republican literature came to your door? Did you have any Republican precinct committeemen knocking on your door?
No, I had two people that came by. One was Rooney.
Okay.
He actually, I mean, he did a great job.
That's Illinois State Senator.
Yeah. I mean, he did a really good job. Not only did he come to my door, he sent me a letter. He sent me postcards. And then he actually sent me a follow-up letter to a conversation I had with him at the door.
Good.
So I thought he did a good job in terms of that.
Campaigning. Yep.
Yes, campaigning. In terms of literature to the House, the majority of the literature was frankly from McCann. Sam McCann.
Yeah, I got a ton of his stuff. Nothing from Runner,
yep.
and maybe something from Erica Herold, but that was it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, I got maybe one or two pieces from Rauner.
Yep.
One from Erica Herold, Sam McCann. Even after IFA revoked our endorsement, I still got some literature from Sam McCann, but I didn't have a single Republican knock on my
door. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Democrats, I'm a registered Republican, okay? I still got Republican literature.
I did too.
Or Democratic literature.
I did too.
Yeah.
And I'm a Republican precinct committeeman. I mean, I'm pretty much out there.
Yeah, I did as well.
So, I mean, they're going for broke. They're trying to get everyone they can, which leads me to the numbers, okay? The turnout in this election for a what they call midterm, it's really our gubernatorial election. It's not just a midterm, it's a gubernatorial. Our governor is on the ballot. We had 4.4 million people, more than 4.4 million people.
Was he on the ballot?
come out to vote. Now you lost. Now I'm lost. Hold on.
Come out to vote.
4.4 million people came out to vote.
Right, which is a significant increase from the last gubernatorial election, 2014. We only had 3.6 million people come out to vote. In 2010, in the gubernatorial election, we had 3.4 million people. So some voters were ginned up, ready to go, weren't they?
Not our voters.
Not our voters. That's the key, Monty.
Well, not our voters in Illinois.
Right.
So much as across the
Well, that's
the country.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah.
4.4 million people here in Illinois. And I just let me put this in perspective to you for you. So in the Cook County and Collar County areas, of the 4.4 million, 1.275 came from Cook County, 350,000 came from DuPage, 245,000 came from Lake, 243 came from Will County, 166,000 came from Kane, and 115 came from McHenry County for a total of Collar Counties and Cook County, 2.4 million. So 2.4 million out of 4.4 million downstaters could have an effect on this in this race, on these elections. we just need to get another 400,000 people out to vote, right?
It sounds like it, but, you know, I mean, those sound like great numbers, but, I mean, the city of Chicago has more adults in it, correct?
Oh, yes. Right.
So, I mean, like, what percentage did actually come out to vote?
Well, they're saying in Chicago about 55%.
And more illegal voters.
Yes.
So. Now, that's of course, that's a good point. But that's, of course, registered voters. So not everybody who is qualified to be a voter is registered to vote. Though they're doing their best to make sure that happens. So, I mean, some states are already passing. And in Illinois, you know, you have the option when you renew your driver's license to automatically be a registered voter. Right there and then, they'll register you to vote. So when you get a state ID, whatever, they're doing their best to make sure everybody is registered. And, of course, now we have same-day voter registration in Illinois, too. So if you're a lazy bum and your mom takes you by the ear and say, you're 18 now, come with me to the voting, you can still vote, register and vote the same day.
How do we go about using those to our advantage? Same-day voter registration and vote by mail.
Well, that's a great point because vote by mail has really gotten popular in Illinois. It is, let's see, I've got numbers here. Hold on. Well over a million Illinois voters took advantage of early voting. Now, that's either voting in person at a location or vote by mail. So it's growing in popularity. Last time it was 791,000.
See, the other side has figured out how they can use this to their advantage.
They're working it. The Republicans are AWOL. That's, again, I keep going back to this.
Right.
They're not doing anything. In fact, Tim Schneider, who is the head of the Republican Party of Illinois, lost his own seat in the Cook County Board this election cycle. He didn't fight hard enough to keep his own seat, let alone fight and promote Republican values in the state of Illinois. And we desperately need new leadership. And I'm thinking Tim Schneider's going to step down. Runner is going to step down from the Republican Party. And we have a chance to rebuild that. But I digress.
I thought he already had, but, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, so much of this doesn't sit well with me. And in thinking it through, it's great that the numbers of registered voters are increasing. That's good. I mean, everybody wants to measure that statistic. I wonder, what are the numbers in terms of educated voters that understand the issues? You know, and for me, whether you're liberal or conservative, if you understand your issues and the issues and what you're voting for,
that's
what we want. We just don't want a political party to say, vote this way because
we're your team.
Yeah, we're your team. You know, we don't need team elections.
That's right. The values, but they're not promoting the values.
Well, and that's what doesn't sit right or well with me.
And the principles.
Is they're not putting those out there. And so if you go back to
because they're embarrassed by
Peter
it,
Rostrum or Hulgren, why did they lose? Did they educate their base on what they stand for?
No.
Because what we stand for will win.
I totally agree, but Republicans have done a terrible job of educating and promoting their platform. You know, the left wants to, liberals in the Republican Party want to say we need a big tent, but their ideal is to build the tent leftward and grab some of those people on the left. No, the idea of a big tent is to pull in people, educate them, and show them why our policy planks are the best.
Yeah, I mean, okay, here I go. Rostrum and Hulgren are not getting the message out because the senior leaders, the who's our governor? Rauner's not getting a pro-life, pro-conservative, pro-family message out.
No.
And so you got conservatives that are losing their seats because they're literally fighting their own party to get a message out that their own party doesn't agree with.
And what's worse, he's sending a message that is absolutely anti-union. Mm-hmm. And in this state, that doesn't play very well. So you're not seen as pro-life, pro-family, conservative, but you're seen as an anti-union guy? Well, that's a problem. That's a problem.
I don't know that the conservative view on union is anti-union. I mean, we're not an anti-union party.
What I'm saying is
that's the perception.
What That is what the Democrats painted him as.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying that's how they portrayed it. And the media was more than happy to go with that narrative, and that's how he was painted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the Conservative Party does have differences of opinion when it comes to public and private sector unions and how they should run.
That's right.
Logically. But I think across the board, we're considered anti-union, which is not true.
Not true. All right. Well, listen, before we run out of time here, I want to go over what the Illinois General Assembly is going to look like. So, you know, we're currently finishing up our 100th General Assembly session in Springfield. And during this last 2 years, we've had 63 Democrats and 51 Republicans in the House. Okay. Now, thanks to this election, we're going to have 73 Democrats and 45 Republicans in the House. That is a marked difference. In the Senate, this session, which we're ending, we had 37 Democrats and 22 Republicans. Next session, we're going to have 39 Democrats and 20 Republicans. And that means they're going to have veto-proof majorities in both chambers with a Democratic governor in the seat. And his agenda is going to be have no speed bumps. Let me say it that way.
Well, if you're a Republican in the legislature, what can you do to make a difference?
You're going to have to fight like the devil to educate your colleagues. You're going to have to hope that some of these guys who beat Republicans in swing districts are not going to vote with the radical left. You're going to have to hope they're going to moderate their votes. But, you know, right now, I really don't see how we're going to stop many of these things coming down the pike.
Some of these seats that the Democrats picked up, some of their winning candidates do seem pretty far left.
Liberal. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, voting has consequences.
It does.
Right. And so the discussions I've had since the election.
And not voting has consequences.
Even more consequences. You know, some of the things that I've been personally talking about with various people is, you know, is recreational marijuana now going to come to Illinois?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to homeschooling Illinois?
That's right.
Right. I mean, that is a big topic because our understanding is J.B. Pritzker is not a fan of homeschooling.
How about assisted suicide, gambling expansion? How about parental notice of abortion? That will be watered down so it's you know, listen, we need to talk about this on another podcast about what the consequences of this election will be and how we as a Christian community, Christian conservatives, have to respond. But before we wrap up this podcast, I want to run through the seven candidates that we were trying to help in this election. And we went two for five. We won two races, lost five. So it's pretty pitiful. It was a bloodbath in Illinois. Downstate Illinois, we were supporting Dwight Kay versus Katie Stewart, and he lost by more than 4,000 votes. We were supporting also downstate Mike Babcock. He was going up against Monica Bristow, and he lost by just 284 votes. Our friend Rick Leib, who was running against a well-known Democrat family guy named Larry Walsh, well, he lost by quite a bit. He was 70-30 there. Dr. Jay Kinsler, out in the Villa Park, Glen Ellen area, running against incumbent Deb Conroy, he lost by just about 5,000 votes. Tom Morrison, a good friend of ours, pro-life, pro-family guy from Palatine, he won his race, but the voting as of right now hasn't been completed, so it's possible he may still lose his vote, his seat, but he's up by about 400 votes as of right now. Our good friend Peter Breen, champion pro-lifer, he lost his race against Miss Howard, I can't remember her friend. Oh, Tara Costa Howard, by almost 3,000 votes. Peter Breen and his wife Margie actually just adopted a little baby boy, and so that's good. He'll be able to spend more time with his family. But he is also a wonderful attorney with the Thomas More Society. He is not going away. He's going to continue the battle, maybe in the courtroom, and maybe not in the legislative arena. But last guy is Mark Batnick from the Plainfield area. He beat Micah Freeman by about 700 votes. So, folks, you can see many of these races were pretty close. And when people tell you the votes don't matter, let me just point out one last race. Helene Walsh, who took the place of Nick Sauer up in Lake County, was running in this last election. She was up on election night by one vote.
Oh, my.
One vote. So they're recounting. I don't know where it's going to end up. They're going to be voting, counting absentee ballots. So who knows if that's another loss yet, because Helene Walsh is a conservative Republican, and but votes do count. We need to get out. We need to get out and vote.
Anyway. Yeah, that adage of my vote won't count or won't matter is just simply not true.
Yeah, if we counted everybody who says that.
Yep.
Rich, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, just one. You know, the election results here in Illinois are not great, but I just want to remind everybody that's listening that God is in control.
That's right.
He is sovereign, and regardless of how painful this is, he will be glorified in the end.
That's right. That's right. We're not called to be victorious. We're called to be faithful.
And warriors.
And warriors. That's right.
All right. Thank you very much. And we are going to kind of continue our discussion on the next Illinois Family Spotlight about the election and the Republican leadership going AWOL, ballot referendums, and legislation that we can expect out of the Illinois General Assembly. And should we fight or should we flee? If they raise my taxes once again. Okay. All right. Until next time. Please do join us on the next Illinois Family Spotlight. Tell a friend, and please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. You can call us at 708-781-9328 or visit us on illinoisfamily.org and click contribute. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.